Hey everyone, welcome to Withering Effect episode 104. Today's date is July 18th, 2021, and I am Duds, or Duds versus known to the rest of the interwebs.
And I'm Jimbo. You may know me as Jimbo Slice 23. Today we got a really big show. I don't know why I said that. It's probably going to be a regular show.
When Carl gets done with it, it'll be the size of a show.
Yeah, it'll be a regular show. So, what have you been up to this week?
Cursing yellow flying things.
Is that what I think it is?
Yeah, we'll start with what I did in Minecraft real quick, because I worked on a project I'm super excited for. It's called Fisherman's Cove. I think I mentioned it last episode. I was working on it, and I ended up finishing it Friday. And I am just in love with the final outcome. And that's mainly because of Moss Block. Moss Block is awesome. And I use just a tiny bit.
Curious how it looks.
Yeah, it's the perfect little detail. I'm super excited with that. That episode should have come out Monday for everyone who's listening to the show on Wednesday or later.
Spoiler alert for me, because it's Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't got to see it yet. I know we're on the same server. We're not too close. But usually I get a heads up on what you're building on the next episode, but I haven't been over there in a while. I'm kind of curious to see what it looks like.
It's pretty good. I want to do a couple armor stands over there, but I knew the armor stands had been kind of buggy on the server since we updated. So I'm kind of waiting for that to be flushed out. I think it is flushed out now, but I just want some confirmation to make sure it's good.
Okay.
Other than that, if you're part of the stream crew that comes and joins my streams every Saturday morning, you've noticed I haven't been streaming much lately. That being said, I streamed this Saturday because of Ripple Effect live stream day.
Yep, it's not true. You just streamed.
Yeah. Well, that was a prior engagement. Basically, I'm trying to revamp my stream up at least once or twice a year. I try to refresh the stream. And I'm noticing now that COVID's kind of dying down a little bit, people are starting to do a lot of stuff on Saturdays when I'm generally streaming. The time I chose was because everyone was at home not doing anything, so I was like, at least I'll bring somebody some entertainment. Well, now everyone's doing stuff, so I was like, I should probably choose a different time to stream now. So might do that a bit, but yeah, I'm reworking the panels and overlays and stuff like that. So I always have fun doing that, though. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, it's not bad. I enjoy it also.
Yeah, this weekend's been super busy as I had to fix my ductwork. I know I mentioned this a while. Me and my dad had been working on the air conditioning in the house. Well, I needed some new dampers for a couple pieces of ductwork. Those finally came in, so I did that this morning. I put new door stoppers for my office doors because the handles were smacking the walls. It's like, can't have that. That's a brand new wall. So I got some door stoppers. And then I went to mow the yard last week and the fence gate fell off the post. Like, the nails and everything that were holding it in weren't deep enough. And the wood's 20 years old. So it had dry rotted a bit and it just fell off.
Yep.
So that was the big project to do after I had done all the end stuff. Because you want to get the attic work and stuff done early in the morning because it get hot.
Right.
Was doing that. Got almost done. Had to run to the hardware store. I come back. As I'm working, I feel a little pinch in the back of my leg. I don't think anything of it because I was wearing my compression socks. I wear those every once in a while and they cover basically my entire leg. So I was like, whatever. I probably just smacked a thorn or whatever because I have those in that area. So anyways, I come inside. I tell you, hey, I'm going to run, jump in the shower real quick. Decide that if I'm going to use the shower, I might as well wash the dog because my dog stinks. So she got a bath. And as I'm sitting down to bathe the dog, I go to take my compression socks off because I don't want to wear those into the shower because I've got like a little bench seat so I can sit in the shower as I'm cleaning her. I look down. There's a yellow jacket stuck in my leg.
Wow, the whole time.
It had stabbed me in the back of the leg and then got stuck in my compression sock and couldn't get free. So for a good 35 minutes, this bug has been stuck in the back of my leg, just stinging.
Oh, pumping you with poison.
Pumping.
Evil.
Evil. Needless to say, it met its maker, called the toilet, and I flushed him. But yeah, I sat there and I was in the shower, and it got me good because blood just continued to run down the back of my leg.
Wow.
I ended up having to go get a bandage and put it on after I got out of the shower.
Was it one sting, or was he able to get you a couple?
Just one sting.
Yeah.
He got me the one time, and it just stuck in there and stayed in there.
Yeah, usually they could only get you once because, you know, the stinger falls out, and then they don't make it after that. I got stung by a bumblebee a few times when it was caught on my shirt, and I freaked out. I started running around the house. I ran around the house for, like, 2 minutes just, like, screaming and yelling at the top of my lungs, and it was on my shirt. All I had to do was, like, wipe it off my shirt. It stung me 3 times during that lap. Yeah, so those will get you multiple times.
Yeah, but this means there's a yellow jacket hive somewhere in my yard I've got to find and destroy, because this is getting ridiculous, the fact that I can't go into my yard without getting stung.
Mm-hmm.
And they always get you in the back of the leg. It's like, what kind of wuss are you? You can't face me man to be.
They get me on my back most of the time.
Yeah, like little punks. Needless to say, I got the gate fixed temporarily. That was a bit of a pain. At some point, I'm just going to have to rip it down and put a new one up. But I don't have that kind of money right now, so it's at least fixed where it opens and closes without falling off the post.
That's good.
Yeah, other than that, I've had a pretty calm week. What about you, Jimbo? What have you been up to?
Well, I went back to work this week.
Mm-hmm.
Finally. Yeah, I've been out of work because of my eye injury. Different surgeries and whatnot, then a cataract. Just everything had to get cleared to where I was medically able to go back. And I'm back to work. I'm feeling a lot better, still working out and stuff, tried to get to the gym beforehand. Second day back at work, I was stung by a bee. Yeah, go figure.
Oh, man.
Right?
I didn't know you got stung too.
Yeah, I got stung by a freaking bee when at work. Safety-wise, you got to wear a yellow vest.
Mm-hmm.
And this yellow vest attracts bees, okay? Another reason why I don't like bees. Now, that's not my fault. I'm not asking for it. You know, I don't want them to come after my yellow vest. But I come out of my truck. I had to drive like a couple hours away to drop some stuff off to a crew. And I get back in my truck to go leave. There was one on my back. And I sat back in my seat, and it stung me. I'm like, what? You have got to be kidding me. Like, the second day back, I get stung by a freaking bee. Oh, my God.
So that's 3 stings between the two of us in 1 week.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
There's that. Glad to be back at work, though. Glad to have you doing something. It kind of got in, what am I trying to say here? It got involved with my recording time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not able to record as much, but I did record a little bit this week also. I started my episode. I'm trying to, on my mega base, I have those 4 towers, and in the middle I have a smaller tower.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to do the design, the dome design for the smaller tower. I want it to stand out. It's the middle point of my base. I want it to look cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hitting like a creative block right now. So my plan is when I hit these creative blocks, I like to go online and see if I can find something that really sparks my interest or sparks that creativeness again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Maybe just Google dome towers or dome designs or something like that and see if I can piece that together. But yeah. That's about it for my week. I got really tan out in the sun.
Yeah.
And these huge tan lines. Yeah. I got like a red face, red arms, and everything else is like really white. It looks weird.
Yeah. I'm kind of the same way. I'm always wearing a watch, and I switched ever since I started walking. I switched to one of those Fitbit watches so I can keep track of how many miles, a day I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I wear like the short sleeve shirt or the cut off sleeve shirt. So my arms nice and dark and tan, except for where that watch is. It's just a giant white ring right around my wrist.
Yeah. Always looks weird.
Yeah. If you're good with what we've done this week, should we move on to the news?
Yep. Let's move on.
So we've got the 118 experimental snapshot, and that word's important because it could mean all of this makes it into 118 or none of it can make it into 118.
Right.
So remember that.
Kind of liking what I'm seeing, though.
Yeah, that being said, I kind of hope all of it makes it into 118. I think I've said this multiple times on the show, and people can attest to it. I was not that excited to see the caves and cliffs update. Matter of fact, I pretty much called it the cave update because we hadn't seen a single cliff in any of the previews. Well, we got cliffs now. So I'm pretty pumped about that, seeing a lot of the natural variation and the terrain happen is really cool. So like the height of an area won't be predetermined by the biome.
Right.
So it used to be if you wanted a bit of a hill, you needed to run across a certain biome. Not going to happen anymore, which that's one of the things I am low-key super excited for. We mentioned this in the pre-show when we were talking about underutilized biomes for base building. And I love savanna plateaus, but I would love a more greener savanna plateau. And I'm thinking maybe this natural variation could happen. Maybe we could get a taiga plateau. How cool would that be?
Yeah, or at least some higher elevation. You can flatten it out a little bit to make yourself a plateau.
Exactly.
Looks like it's definitely doable with this experimental snapshot.
Exactly. Pretty excited about that.
Yeah, they gave us the height. They gave us the depth.
Mm-hmm.
They gave us some biomes.
Yeah, we got some new biomes.
Yeah, right here they mentioned the Lofty Peaks, Snowcap Peaks, the Grove, Meadow, and Snowy Slopes.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't yet pinpointed those yet, have you?
No, I meant to rewatch Zoomavoid's video before we sat down, but it was so rushed on time.
Me too.
I didn't get a chance to today. Yeah, this is one of those, we're recording in like mid-afternoon, which is really weird for us, but quite literally today, this weekend's been so packed for both me and Jimbo that this is the only time frame we really had to fit it in.
What's funny is I say I wanted to watch Exumavoid's video about it just to refresh my memory. I watched it once, but then again, you found me playing on the server when we were way past our time to record. You're like, Jimbo, what are you doing? We're supposed to record. I'm like, oh man, yeah, I'm just recording.
So we were supposed to sit down at 1 o'clock to record. Well, I came in at 1 o'clock and said, hey, I need like 30 more minutes to wash the dog and take a shower. And you were like, cool, that's fine. I just walked through the door. So I said, okay. 25 minutes later, I'm down and I sit down. I go, are you ready? And he doesn't respond back. 10 minutes after that, I post a question mark. You ready? Doesn't respond back. And I can see on the Discord that he's at his computer because it hasn't fallen asleep or anything.
I'm sitting right here.
Yeah. So I joined the server and sure enough, he's sitting there. And he goes, oh, you waiting on me? Yeah, I'm waiting on you.
Are you ready or not? Duds, I'm sitting here waiting on you.
Yeah, no. So yeah, that was kind of funny.
Yeah, we didn't get around to watch Exumavoid's video, but we do have a bunch of notes here to refresh ourselves.
Yeah, but one of the notes is new ore distribution. They put out another chart.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, honestly, I'm not going to talk about ore distribution again until it's done.
Yeah, it's probably going to change, especially experimental.
Yeah, it seems like every update, there's a new ore distribution, and every time I look at that chart, I only see slight changes.
Yeah, nothing too big.
So it's not enough to keep bringing up on the show until it's finalized. When it's finalized and that's the new way it's going to be, then we'll bring it up and we'll talk about it. But on the snapshots, I'm just going to kind of skip over it for now.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's probably going to change again the next week.
Yeah, they did show those large ore veins.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we were going to get those in 117, but they're waiting for those. I even did that. I was like, oh, there's granite here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to dig out this granite and find some copper because that's where the copper ore grows in those large granite veins. But no, they showed it for the 118, which I'm a pretty big fan of. I like that.
Yeah, I definitely like the large ore veins, and I like the fact that you thought that lush caves were in 117.
that
was funny.
That was so last month.
Yeah. Let's see, we got the new cave generation cheese spaghetti noodle making me hungry. Mm-hmm. Where's my pasta?
Yeah.
Pasta caves, that's it. This is the pasta update.
Why wouldn't they just call them pasta caves?
Yeah.
Right?
118 is officially the pasta update.
Another thing to look out for are, or at least for the experimental, is mining levels. Usually you mine at Y11, at least I did.
Mm-hmm.
118, lava levels are going to be in different areas. Like, yeah, there's not one set spot at Y11 that you would mine at. So you got to be careful where you mine now, because the water and the lava levels underground, at least, are going to be random.
Yeah. Was it localized is what I think they're calling it.
Yeah. Which I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
From digging in the nether, you got to be aware of it anyway. So.
Yeah.
And it's a lot slower in the overworld.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to avoid it.
Yeah. Some of the other stuff I'm super excited in seeing is the integrated mountain cave entrances.
Mm-hmm.
That looks so clean and so cool. They create some really awesome formations. One of the things I think is a bug, but I'm really hoping they leave it, is there have been lush caves spawning on the surface.
Ah, never noticed.
It looks so cool.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a bug, but...
It's a bug, but I kind of hope it stays, because it's such a cool-looking thing. It's not big enough to be its own little biome, but it's such a cool natural feature that you're like, all right, we need to rope this off. This is going to be a national park from now on. Nobody touch it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting idea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was it just the lush caves that are poking through the surface?
I've only seen the lush caves, but
yeah,
I would have to think it could happen to other caves. The lush caves, man. Ugh, so good.
Yeah, they showed us some of the dripstone caves, too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought I was going to run into those in 117, you know, because I obviously wasn't paying attention, or short-term memory loss. I don't know, but... You do see dripstone on the surface sometimes, like in the water.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they showed what the caves look like.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pretty massive, at least the ones I saw.
Oh, yeah.
They might even form in like the spaghettis and the wide open ones. I'm not too sure yet, but as far as I know, those dripstone caves look pretty big. Like, you had to borrow dripstone off me.
Mm-hmm.
If you found one of these caves, you would never need dripstone again. That's how much there is.
All the dripstone I have, I borrowed 5 dripstone blocks and 3 pointed dripstones from you, and that's it. And everything else I've gotten has been from my dripstone farm, which is not super fast, that's for sure. I think I only have almost 2 stacks, but... It's a tiny little farm that kind of runs in the background. It's nothing impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the big part of the update, though. The part that made people go, ooh.
Yeah, the most experimental.
Yeah. Monsters will only spawn in complete darkness. Yes, please. I love this.
Mm-hmm.
It makes 110 perfect percent of knowledge and stuff, because everything Minecraft tells you is darkness equals danger, except for it turns out it's not necessarily darkness, it's light level 7 and below.
Yes.
Which is just kind of some weird arbitrary number. So you could think you have light there, but you don't really. Not enough, anyways.
Yeah, and it gives you the opportunity to play with these light levels and not be on a mushroom biome.
Exactly.
Like, you can actually have light level 2 and it be safe.
Mm-hmm.
And like you were saying when we were talking, I think it was yesterday, how you could walk down a dark cave and see a little bit of light and know there's a little bit of safety there.
Yes.
Which makes complete sense.
Mm-hmm. Let's not forget about some of the new light sources we've been getting. The Soulfire stuff doesn't get above 10 light level. Some of the candles, if you don't put down, what is it, 4 candles together, they're relatively useless. Glow Lichen is a light level 7, so it's useless, except for now. Now, with monsters only spawning in complete darkness. All of these lighting options now are, they're like legit lighting options.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No more, well, this is a cool light, but it's only really used for decoration. Yep. It's like, no, this is a legitimate light that can stop spawnings. Perfect.
Right. Gives you a little more use.
Mm-hmm.
A little more usefulness. And that glow lichen, again, it was cool for decoration.
Yeah.
You know, just to put up around. It's not going to stop spawning, but well, now it can. So.
Exactly.
And one of the main things you mentioned about the new Caves and Cliffs update
mm-hmm.
is the pain of lighting up the caves.
Yep.
And now you can actually spread the lights pretty thin to where you can light them up a little bit easier.
That was my biggest gripe mm-hmm. since day one was how am I supposed to keep spawns from spawning in this cave? So my farms are enjoyable to use. And this fixes that. Yeah, you're still going to have these large things to light, but you're not going to have to spam torches everywhere to make them spawn proof. Just a little bit of light will do it now.
Yep. Spread them pretty thin.
Mm-hmm. It's great.
Yeah, I really like the idea. So it'll be just zero, right? Like the level zero.
Yep.
I'm curious about like the nether. Would that be the same for the nether? Like, I'd be okay for the nether to stay how it is. And I know the pigmen or the piglins, they don't necessarily need 7 to spawn, right?
Yeah, I want to say that light levels don't stop spawns in the nether anyways.
Okay.
That or it must be like the light level 15 is the only thing that can, like the maximum light possible is the only thing that could do that.
Probably wouldn't affect like Endermen and skeletons. They might have to abide by the rules.
Yeah.
But most nether mobs, I think you're right. Light level doesn't mm-hmm. really affect much of their spawns.
Right. And putting this in there, this isn't going to affect slime spawns in slime chunks. So.
Yeah.
You're still going to have that.
Don't have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
Eggs, you can actually spread those lights a little thinner, if anything. You know, you used to have to spread them out so much, but now you can spread them a little thinner.
They did mention that this is basically block light level and not sky light level. But I haven't seen anyone go into a descriptive of what exactly is going to be the difference. Obviously, skylight is you have an open roof to all the way to the sky. You build limit up, basically. So I don't know how that affects it because I think that's still 7 and below will spawn. So like your outside of your base could still be relatively dangerous and might need more torches, but inside won't. I'm not sure how that works. No, that doesn't make any sense because the second you put a roof on something, the skylight is 0.
Yeah.
I'm getting something confused.
Yeah, unless it's like above ground or under Y level, it's got to be 0.
No, it doesn't matter. We use block light level to spawn proof everything anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But this all came from, we saw King B-Dogs mention it in a tweet saying it makes no sense to have to use the F3 button to determine if you're safe or not.
Yeah.
And how true that is.
Right.
The less use of the debug screen, the better.
I agree.
How nice would it be to not have to worry about that screen ever again?
I feel like they're putting more on the screen too.
Yes.
Like it almost takes up your whole view.
Mm-hmm.
Because they keep adding new things and new things. I feel like it's more of a creative thing to use. Use it mm-hmm. when you're doing, you know, just creative and experimental builds.
Yeah.
Actually, one of our main topics. Hopefully we can get to that.
We'll be talking about that in a minute. Is there anything else you want to talk about for the 118 experimental?
Not that I can think of. It does look great. I never got to play with it yet. I did want to. I think you have to go outside of Minecraft to download the experimental update. It's not like in the main window when you start up.
Yeah, I think it's a data pack.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's how you get to play with it.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys know us. Me and Jimbo are kind of we like to wait for the release to finally set foot in it.
Mm-hmm. Unless there's something I'm like real antsy to see.
Yeah.
Which this is one thing. I really wanted to see this. I plan on downloading it and checking it out, because, you know, it's experimental and everything. I do want to see what may or may not be coming to Minecraft. So stay tuned for that.
All I got to say is, again, yeah, these are all experimental. It could mean that none of it makes into the game or all makes into the game. Mm-hmm. But I really hope everything they've shown right now makes it into the game.
Yeah, same here.
It looks so good.
Yeah, really, really liking what they're doing with the game right now.
Especially the monster light levels.
Mm-hmm. Pretty big one. I think Cub Fan has a video explains it a lot, so haven't got to see that one yet.
But moving on from that, we actually have a few listener comments that we're going to carry over to this week.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are short and quick. Some of them are going to require a little bit of explanation. But I'll start. This one's from Bean Man from our Discord. Matter of fact, all of these are from our Discord. So if you guys haven't joined our Discord, it literally is the easiest place to get in contact with us. We're active on there all day, every day.
Right.
But Bean Man asks, what is your favorite, least favorite, and most disappointing update?
My favorite update has got to be probably the Shulker Box update. When they, what is it, the color?
Yes.
When they brought in the concrete and the Shulker Boxes.
Yeah.
I wanted to say Redstone. I wanted to say Elytra. Elytra, when they brought that in, is when I first started playing. So really, like, the Redstone was kind of already there. Already got to play with it at first. Elytra was just getting there. It was cool and all, but you had to use your bow to go, you know, take off or whatever. But I remember when they brought the Shulker Boxes in, how much of a game changer that was.
Yes.
And I think I was the most excited to see that as of right now.
I agree. To be different, though, I will say either the Bees and Bugs update, just because of how much it really cleaned up Minecraft. The amount of bugs at that time was getting really long. So for them to take time and say, hey, look, this update's just about fixing the game and basically making the quality of life a lot better in the game, I really like that one.
I agree that it's my least favorite.
Yeah.
Oh, that's your favorite. Okay, that's my least favorite.
Yeah.
They brought in the bees. Can't support that. Sorry.
Least favorite up till now was going to be Caves and Cliffs, just because 1.17 gave us Deep Slate, and Deep Slate is my favorite block, but that came out in 1.17, not Caves and Cliffs. But that being said, I don't know. It's really hard to pick.
It's hard to say any of them's disappointing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, none of them has been disappointing. There's always something with one of the updates.
Yeah, 1.13 was absolutely amazing in adding all the fish and wildlife in the ocean, but the amount of bugs and lag it created was the disappointing part. It was almost not playable for the first 2 to 3 months.
Yes, that was a huge issue at first. I think they went all the way to 1.13.6. That's how many times they had to fix the bugs.
I'm not sure.
It was up there.
It was up there. I remember that. Hopefully we answered your question, B-Man.
Yep. And next question is from Kit Kitty Cat 2. Question, what was your favorite atmospheric addition to 1.17?
I don't think there were any atmospheric additions to 1.17, right? I mean, you can count the Spore Blossom because that's in creative.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, when I think of atmospheric, I think of, like, when you walk into the basalt deltas.
Yeah, the terrain.
Well, the particles in the air.
Particles.
The shading of
the fog.
Fog, yeah. So stuff like that.
We didn't get that yet.
Well, yeah, we didn't get that yet. Maybe the sounds from walking on geodes you could throw in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think we've really got anything like that in 1.17.
I do like the look of how, when you're real low in the world, almost to like Y0, when the deep slate covers most of the underground and the caves with the deep slate. I do like the deep slate caves, pretty much. I like that atmospheric look, if anything.
Yeah, I haven't found a cave in deep slate yet, so.
It does look really cool.
I bet it does.
I've only seen a couple, though. It's not real big.
All right, next question is from High Hopes. They ask, Duds, what is your favorite kind of build to watch, a mega bass, a certain style like Tudor or modern, anything in a time lapse. Those are simply examples, not part of the actual question. Again, thank you, High Hopes. I like every kind of build, if that makes sense. If someone's time-lapsing Redstone, I'll watch it. If someone's time-lapsing a simple starter base, I'll watch it. There are some builds that are not fun to watch. It all depends on how well someone does the time-lapse. Like, if you're doing a first-person time-lapse, and it's just basically Let's Play footage sped up, I won't watch that. That makes me sick to my stomach. But just about any other kind of time-lapse, I'm kind of down for. If you're doing grind work, and I don't mean like digging out a hole, because at least then you're still seeing progression, but if you're doing grind work like running around trading with villagers or crafting a bunch of stuff, that's not really that fun to watch, so I don't watch that either. But yeah, I don't care what kind of building style you're building, I'll watch it. Anyone willing to put in that kind of effort to make a time lapse or a video out of it, yeah, might as well.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's more fun to see how creative a person can get on any type of build. Yeah, let's see how different they can make this, what blocks they can use for a certain kind of house or like a mega base, like you mentioned. So yeah.
That's exactly it. I get more excited based off block palettes than I do the actual build.
Mm-hmm. It's cool to see.
Like, is there a combination of blocks I haven't thought of that this person's using? I've got to see.
Yeah, like, whoa, those look so good together.
Yeah.
I say that to myself quite a few times.
Mm-hmm. That being said, I am being burned out on mega bases.
You?
I don't think they're... I don't think they're as cool as people are saying they are, watching someone build these big, large bases over and over again, especially when they're essentially filled with the same things over and over again, the exact same way.
Jeez, Duds, I'm sitting right here. You don't have to be so harsh.
Your base is the first time you've built something like that, so...
Yeah, I like to stuff them full of farms.
Yeah, and me and you talked about this in a call last night with Carl. I think people who watch me next season will understand what I kind of want to do to counter that, so that'll be cool.
Yeah, I want to stick with, like, my mega base theme,
mm-hmm.
but I want to, like... build small inside the mega base.
You heard what I wanted to do, and you're like, that's not a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
But your mega base idea for next season is going to be kind of cool. That being said, good luck. I don't want no part of that. Burn me out just looking at it.
Might shrink it. Might be a mini mega base. I don't know.
Can I have a medium combo with that base?
Right. Yeah, I'm going to get a medium combo base.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for.
All right, one more question.
Yeah, High Hopes asked me, actually. Jimbo, same style of question, but regarding the story element. Do you prefer hearing about the lore of a world storyline arcs like the Hermit's Civil War, or more movie style?
I have an answer for this one.
I like watching the Let's Plays, but with a storyline going on. I do like videos that have just the storyline. It gives you something to look forward to. But just in general, when I like to make videos, I like to have something different. Like, I have my base going on. I have my farms I'm building. And then I like to mix it up with, let's throw something in there. Like the bees, for instance. Maybe bees come to attack me as I'm building this base. You know, I'm just not building a base. There's bees coming, you know, or something along those lines. It doesn't have to be like you said, a movie style motion picture, but just some type of storyline to make things interesting, to mix it up a little bit. I think that's more like the Hermit Civil War. Loved it. Loved the fact that everyone was taking on a character. They were all, you know, you did this, you did that, let's fight over this and that. And it made things fun. It brought a different side of the people out. They're not just building in that case. And I do love the way they build, but it mixed it up and brought in a great storyline.
Mm-hmm.
What were your thoughts?
I could care less about the Hermit Civil War.
I loved the Civil War.
For about 2, 3, maybe even 4 weeks, I stopped watching Hermitcraft videos just because I got so tired of it. because it's always the same. Someone does something that can be easily explained, but yet it gets blown up into a Civil War style story. Nah. They're good builders. I watch them because they're builders. I don't watch for that kind of stuff.
I like it.
That being said, I know why they do it. It makes complete sense why they do it. There's no reason for them not to do that. Those are probably some of their highest viewed videos and interactions, so it makes sense. So I won't down them. It's not my cup of tea, so I just kind of wait till they get back to normal and then I jump back in. Lore of a World, I like, but if you're not watching from the beginning, you just can't jump in. You've missed so much.
That's true.
So that's kind of hard. And when it comes to movie style, I introduced Jimbo to this, and I'm going to introduce you guys to it, but Neebs Gaming.
Yeah.
Very much TVMA, mature, and everything like that. But Neebs Gaming has done the Minecraft series a couple times. They're on a break from it now, but they shoot everything they do in a cinematic style. And it's quite literally just them doing a let's play and having fun, but they have camera angles and a production style that rivals anybody, and it's very well done, and I absolutely love it. That's my favorite way to watch. If anyone on Hermitcraft adopted that style, I'm done. Sold.
Yeah, I remember watching Neebs. The thing is, I started watching them on 7 Days to Die,
mm-hmm.
and the way they did their videos and how that made it like their little story. It was just like a let's play.
Yep.
But they made it into like their own little story. And then I saw they did Minecraft. I was like, oh my God. And then I started watching that, and it's so different
mm-hmm.
than any other style of
yep.
Minecraft video you would ever see.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I highly recommend it. Again, it is adult
yeah.
content.
I love Neebs Gaming. They're very good at what they do.
Mm-hmm. No Minecraft lately, but I have a feeling they're going to come back to it with this new update.
I don't know. They've got a couple series that are hitting on good cylinders right now.
Yeah, it depends what they're into. It's what they're going to play.
We'll find out.
But highly recommend it.
Yeah. Thank you for that, High Hopes. And this is the last week. You can get involved in our listener survey. We mentioned this in the pre-show. Please, if you guys are wanting to help us out, fill out the survey. Answer as many questions as you can. It really does help the show. We're changing the show based off this last survey again. So people in the pre and post show know what's going on, and it really helps us out. But High Hopes, you got the marquee again. Go ahead and take it away with some more information.
Hi, everyone. I'm High Hopes. The Withering Effect is running a listener survey to find out what you think of the show. Included are questions about our Discord. If you would like to share your experiences or have ideas for new features, you can help shape the future of the Discord by following the link in the show notes. The survey will close at 10 p.m. BST on Saturday, the 24th of July, 2021. So don't delay and get involved today.
All right, thanks for that, High Hopes. Remember to get involved with the survey and give us your feedback before 10 p.m. BST this Saturday, because that is it. We're gonna stop pestering you guys about the survey. And everything like that. We'll be back to a normally scheduled program. But let's talk a little bit about the Discord, as being it's the only place you can get involved in our Mending Minecraft vote. This week, we asked you to choose between three items for us to discuss and improve. And the items were potions, horse armor, and trident.
And the winner of Mending Minecraft this week is... horse armor.
Yeah.
But yeah.
yeah.
I mean, not a bad choice at all.
I have theories on this.
Yeah. I saw Trident in the vote, and I was like, there's no way Trident's going to lose. Mm-hmm. It got last, actually. Trident yep. had 12 votes, Potions with 18 votes, and the Horse Armor with a whopping 39 votes. Congratulations, Horse Armor.
I'm 100% blaming Hermitcraft on this vote, by the way.
Yeah, a lot of horse activity.
A lot of horse activity this season. So I think it's brought the horse stuff to the forefront. And that's why it won the vote this week.
You could be right.
Yep.
few things I have here on the horse armor. Horse armor is a special type of armor that can be given to a horse to wear. Only normal horses can wear armor. Donkeys, mules, undead variants such as skeleton horses and zombie horses cannot be equipped with armor. Horse armor does not decrease the fall damage of the horse or its speed when worn. Only leather horse armor can be crafted. Other horse armor can be obtained only from chest loot from some generated structures. There are leather, iron, gold, and diamond horse armor. Unlike player armor, horse armor does not have durability. This means a single horse armor can be used infinitely unless destroyed. And leather horse armor can be dyed 12,326,391 different colors.
Yeah!
That's pretty wide range of colors right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole freaking wheel. It's a whole color wheel.
Yeah. Okay, so when coming up with a way to fix horse armor, we've got this thing in Discord passing around, and I'm going to try to explain it again. When it comes to mending Minecraft, we try not to create new items. We're trying to improve the items are already there. If we constantly created new items, that's all we would end up doing for mending Minecraft.
True.
Because we're trying to fix something, so the best way to fix something is make something new. But we're not here to do that. So when horse armor won, the question came up, well, iron horse armor, leather horse armor, those are all different items. It's like, yeah, but horse armor was the item, not so much diamond horse armor, leather horse armor. If we did that, that would be insane. You guys would get tired of us having a horse armor to vote for. So, putting it all under one category, these all kind of go together. I'm going to start with netherite horse armor. Where you be? What is this? Why we don't have this option?
Got all the other ones.
Right.
Well, except for chainmail.
Yeah.
Chainmail wouldn't be so bad either.
Horses wore chainmail in medieval times.
Yeah. Along with the knights.
Mm-hmm.
I remember. I've seen that in movies. In movies, of course. I'm not that old.
Yeah. I'd be okay with you still need to make a netherite ingot and then upgrade diamond horse armor to get the netherite horse armor. Like, it's not something you can find. You would still need to craft it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be good with that. The other big thing is saddlebags. I know we kind of have that with donkeys and mules and llamas where you can put a chest on them. And depending on your breeding, depends on how many chest slots or whatever you have. But what if saddlebags, quote unquote, work like bundles?
Mm.
Yeah, I said it.
Saddlebags.
Maybe you can only have 5 or 6 slots available to you, period. But it's kind of weird that you can't carry anything with a horse. How cool would it be if you had a to-go box always in your horse?
Yeah, it would make it a lot more useful.
Mm-hmm. The final thing is enchanted armor. It makes sense to enchant horse armor, especially when we read that fall damage is still affected to horses. They can't affect speed or whatever. How cool would it be to have soul speed for a horse, or just speed in general, that's not based off of potions or beacons or anything like that? I don't know if beacons affect horse speed, but...
Not sure.
Yeah, let us enchant some horse armor. That'd be cool.
Yeah, or new enchantments just for horse armor.
Exactly. Something like that. To me, that's the easiest way to improve the horse armor we already have in the game. It's to use mechanics that are in the game just tailored to horse armor.
Maybe, what is it, like a feather falling for horse armor, but not feather falling, but like slow falling. Like, maybe they glide down. Maybe, like, if you're on a mountain, you can jump and, like, glide down. Almost like a Pegasus. Ooh. Like a Pegasus enchantment. You can't fly, but you can glide.
I don't know. I'd be more adept with your feather falling idea. If my horse just doesn't die when I fall off a cliff, I'd be okay with that, too.
Yeah, it is. It's not fun to find the ways down cliffs. Or maybe even like a swimming enchantment for your horse, where you can actually take it across the water.
Yeah.
Or a float enchantment.
I can't remember. Does Frostwalker work? If you're wearing Frostwalker on a horse, Does that still work?
Has it ever worked?
I don't know. I want to say I remember reading somewhere that does, but I don't put Frostwalker on my boots because I'd destroy every farm in my base if I did.
Yeah, I mean, you're not technically walking in that case.
You're right.
You'd be frost riding.
Yeah. Woo!
Wouldn't be walking.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, something like that for your horse armor. A better way to get them around easier. Because I feel like there's times where you have to
mm-hmm.
dismount your horse and go on foot because the horse will get stuck. There's nowhere for it to go. There's a huge mountain. It's a pain to climb over it. Maybe the horse armor can have some different enchantments to help you get through these obstacles.
Yes.
I would really like that. Bring the horses back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that being said, I don't think a horse will ever be able to defeat the Elytra. It just can't.
Yeah, sorry.
But if you can make horses more enjoyable, it might be worth riding horses. Maybe there's a mechanic in Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild where if you get on a horse and you start riding on a path, the horse will automatically take over and just keep continuing on that path until you tell it not to. So maybe if you're using path blocks and you ride a horse on said path, it will continue on that path just like Breath of the Wild does. So it would act kind of like a minecart in the fact that you don't have to necessarily navigate the horse. You could take a break and rest a little bit.
Cruise control.
Yeah, you look at the Nether, I still use minecarts to get back and forth to my base when I could easily just make a flying tunnel and fly back and forth. And that's just because, yeah, slow down, enjoy the ride.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the notes for the discussion
mm-hmm.
of the horse armor, and someone, PrimeGamer3133, mentioned Pegasus armor. Oh my god. We actually think alike.
Well, Tango Tech did an entire video basically of that.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh my, jeez. I thought that was like something I thought of.
Quite literally mentioned in the video, we should have a slot where we can put an elytra in the horse and create Pegasus armor for the horse.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do it.
See, I was trying to be more original, not copy that.
Oh, see, I was just thinking of it. But more of like a slow falling, not so much
mm-hmm.
you can fly, but just glide.
Yeah.
I'm slowly plugging in my headphones because they're dying. Sorry.
You're fine.
Like knocking stuff over.
You're just like, pow, 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 pow. Just
bang, bang, bang. Pegasus, bang, bang, bang. I'm ready. I'm good.
Okay, but I think I'm done with mending Minecraft. We have a few minutes to get to the main discussion topic, unless you have anything else.
No, that's everything.
All right, good. Then we have timed this perfectly because our main discussion is not a huge topic, but it felt like something worth talking about. And it's another tweet from King B-Dogs mentioning the F3 screen or the debug screen. And he says, the ideal future is to not even need the F3 for position coordinates. The problem is simply adding an item that shows the coordinates is also a really bad immersion breaking or is really bad and immersive breaking. It's an interesting design challenge to think of. So I thought, is there a way we could come up with a way to add coordinates to the game without necessarily using the F3 screen? I mean, my first thought is a compass.
Yeah, that's what I was like, either a map or a compass I thought was the best way. They've had it when I played at Xbox. I'm not sure about now. Like, do Bedrock, do they have, they don't have the coordinates on there also, do they?
Bedrock does not have the debug screen.
Yeah, they have to like special options they could get it though. Just the coords.
Yeah, I think there's a option now. It used to be you'd had to turn cheats on, which means you don't get advancements and stuff. I think that's gone now.
Okay.
I mean, we in the Java world, we have Vanilla Tweaks has the HUD that you can turn on and off that will show your coordinates and stuff. But an item, a compass just seems so practical to have a compass be able to tell you coordinates. And maybe it's you have to craft a compass, and then you have to craft that compass into something else.
Into a GPS.
Maybe surround the compass with maps. And then all that does is that compass will then just give you coordinates underneath it.
Yeah. I mean, you make a map out of a compass, but it's with paper.
Right.
So you're using maps. You're using compass with compasses.
Well, I'm saying, like, if you surround a compass with a map, because a map tells you exactly where you are.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe a map surrounding a compass will act like a GPS and tell you your coordinates. I don't know.
Yeah. And then there's so many different features to F3, you know, not just the coordinates. That's the whole problem. Like, you would need F3. Like we were saying earlier, I'm okay with it being just a creative option if they could give us another way to use chords.
Mm-hmm.
Coordinates is the main thing. And light level. And light level, we could throw that out the window if we know this whole, you know, experimental snapshot is here to stay with the zero light level spawns.
Exactly.
That would be okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what else you would use the F3 screw. I mean, I use the looking at dimensions a lot to line stuff up.
I don't really use that one. Just click count. I do it the hard way.
Knowing what biome you're in.
Yes.
If you're edging out a biome, that's a big one.
That's true. Yep. Especially if you're in a mushroom.
Mm-hmm.
There's places along the sides that could be spawnable that are beaches.
Yep. If you have a lake in the middle of your mushroom island, that's spawnable.
Yep. Drown farms. You need to know where that river cuts off.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of different instances. But the thing is, a compass, a map, could tell you these things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the same feature. Light level might be a little different, but again, you know, with light level zero being the choice of monster spawns, probably wouldn't need it in that case.
Mm-hmm.
This is an interesting question, and it's hard for...
It really is.
...to find the answer, because, you know, if Mojang is having an issue putting their heads together, it is something to really think about.
One of the games I looked to was Scrap Mechanic. So when you spawn in survival there, you spawn with a journal. And in the journal, it tells you the time of day, because monster spawning is affected by the time of day, not so much light levels. And it tells you your coordinates and allows you to mark directional beacons, if that kind of makes sense. So the idea of having an item that you can physically hold instead of going to a debug screen makes complete and total sense to me. Is just crafting an item like that. What exactly would you want? The idea of a journal is pretty cool, especially if you can flip pages and write little notes with chords there would be cool. Like, hey, found a skeleton spawner at Discord, and in the upper left-hand corner, it tells you your current coordinates along with time of day or something like that. That could be super cool. That'd be super useful. That's a book you'd want to have in your inner chest all the time.
Yeah. What if this is going, I'm really going out there on this one.
Okay.
You crafted something like a cell phone. Like, I know this is Minecraft, and you're not going to be carrying around a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be, like, the only thing I could think of that could give you so much information in one item. But we're not going to get cell phones. Let's be real. We're not going to get cell phones in Minecraft.
Yeah, no.
You play with your cell phone on your cell phone. Like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to be a thing. But just saying, that'd be funny. It was a joke.
Jimbo's like, laugh, dang it.
No, we're not going to get cell phones.
No.
In Minecraft. It'd be funny, though. Steve whips out a cell phone. Beep, beep, beep.
It would not be funny.
We are at Y17.
I'd be very upset that if Steve got a cell phone before we got concrete stairs and slabs.
Yeah. Can't make concrete stairs and slabs, but let me call.
Yeah, let me make a phone call. No, I like the idea of an upgradable compass or an upgradable journal. Something like that could be very useful. The more I think about the journal, to me, is where I want to lean. But just because of the ability to jot down stuff as you're working is really cool.
Or like an atlas.
An atlas.
Maybe you can call it an atlas.
I don't know enough about atlases.
I mean, it's kind of like a map. It's kind of a large map, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Stop throwing stuff in my head, Jimbo.
I'm just thinking. Yeah, what the thing is, I've seen this tweet, and I never really thought about the question. And here we are, main topic time. Now I'm getting going. You know, now I'm like, okay, now let's think of some ways to figure this out, because I haven't been thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just throwing them out there. I'm really curious what the Discord says about it.
Yeah.
If you guys have any cool opinions, definitely send us those.
I want to hear what other people can come up with. That could be very cool.
We do have a lot of interesting suggestions in the discussion channel over amending Minecraft.
Mm.
Be really cool to see what people think.
Yeah. We'll try to remember, too, if you guys take your time to come up with a way to fix the F3 screen, per se, we'll make a note and bring it up in the next episode. So we'll pick our favorites and talk about them early in the episode.
Mm-hmm. And in the tweet, he does mention, you know, the problem is simply adding an item to show coordinates and probably other stuff that the debug screen shows you. I think I'm okay with adding different items to show you different stuff. But this would mean, you know, working on the inventory, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Inventory update. Next update, please.
Yeah, I might need it.
All right. But I think that's going to do it for today's show. Before I have Jimbo read us out, I want to say a huge thank you to all of our patrons who are supporting the show. Our milk level patrons are Omni, Chief Big Bear, Croc, Deadwalker, Fragile Rock, Obeep, Stonefigure, and Viperous Tuna. If you too would like to get access to exclusive benefits and hours of extra content each month, please consider joining at patreon.com/thewitheringeffect.
And if you like the show, you can share it with all of your friends and on social media. If you listen on Spotify, follow us, or if you listen on Apple Podcasts, leave us a nice review. Doing any of these really helps the show reach more listeners. If you would like to get in contact with us, send an email to podcast@thewitheringeffect.com, tweet us, leave a voice message, or join our Discord where you can have a chat with everyone who works on the show and fellow listeners. All the links will be in the show notes.
This show has been brought to you by Jimbo, myself, but also our digital producer, Carl. He helps make sure the show ends up where it should be. The amazing music you hear in the intro and outro is created by the one and only Decoy. Everyone's social media info can be found in the show notes. You guys have been awesome. Thank you so much for getting withered with us. You should probably go drink your milk now. Bye.
See you guys.